There was a time in Truth to You history when there were believers of Yeshua on the program.
Yeah.
And this was a time because you and I transitioned out of the church. And in that transitioning process, you tend to fall into the Hebrew roots or the Torah observant Christian or the Messianic category in one form or another. As you journey out of the church, refining your faith to the Tanakh.
Mm.
And so it can be forgiven to think that I'm still there. And mind you, it was before we even began the first season of Torah Pearls that I shelved my New Testament.
Mm.
Now, while I was going through that phase, while I was transitioning from one to the other, I had guests on the program like, I don't know, one popular guest like Rico Cortez, for example. Very, very popular in the Hebrew Roots movement. And Rico was on the program, very generous with his time, came on the program quite a number of times. And what's his website?
It's
Wisdom in Torah.
That's it. Isn't he in Australia? Didn't I see something on my news feed?
Well, this is the thing. Now someone tagged me. Last week, I was tagged in a conversation, and it happened to be on a thread on Rico's Facebook. And Rico was announcing that he's coming to Australia. He's coming to my island. How about that?
I'm going to have a look now and see if I can find this on there.
Go and have a look. There was quite a thread, and he was basically saying, I think, let me see now, I've got it in front of me. I do. Rico's saying, just asking you all for prayer because I finally got a lifelong dream of mine become a possibility in February 2016. I will be in the land down under, Australia, for a Wisdom in Torah ministry tour. So that's great. So it should be a lifelong dream to go to Australia, I think. Everyone at some stage in their life should go to Australia because it is
a great place. Sponsored by Australian Tourism Ministry.
I'm all for it.
All right, I found the tag, right? It's the 8th of July. I see it. Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that I found really interesting about this, though, was the tag, because I would not have seen this had it not been for the tag. So, g'day, Baruch. He tagged me. He's the guy who tagged me. G'day, Baruch. And he asked the question to Rico, will you be connecting with John O'Vandor? And there's my tag. To which Rico responded in capitals all the way along. He wrote, nope, nope, nope. He rejected Yeshua. I am going to see my brothers and sisters.
Ah, okay.
That was his response. And Baruch liked that.
Aren't we all brothers and sisters, though, really?
Aren't we, though, really? Now, I respect Rico's position because this is part of his religion. Though we recorded many programs, which are no longer on Truth to You, because I don't hold, obviously, to the New Testament or Yeshua, anymore. So I've taken all those old programs off. But I respect the fact that, you know, this is part of Rico's religion and that, you know, once you hold to the New Testament and then reject the New Testament, well, you're in a world of trouble, right? You're hellbound. There is no redemption for you. And so it says in the New Testament. And so I understand, I respect, you know, Rico saying, you know, so adamantly in capitals, shouting. Isn't that a shout? When he put things in capitals, isn't it shouting?
Yeah, I like the way
He's shouting that. And I say that I respect his right to believe what he believes. I say that for two reasons. Number one, Rico's other hobby is martial arts, and he's very good at it. Not many people know this, but Rico could kill me 5 times before I hit the ground. I'm not kidding. Secondly, because Rico's coming to Australia. So let me just repeat. Totally respect his right to not look me up. That's fine, Rico. I got no problem with that. However, you know, I would, you know, if I, you know, I would happily meet up with Rico. I have no problem with meeting up with Rico.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Right, that is his right. And there are plenty of people. I mean, over the last few years, I've seen this happen a number of times. People from all different perspectives can't abide people that don't share that perspective, and so they block them. They stop talking to them. It happens in families, husbands and wives. Parents and kids. It's real sad, but it happens.
It does seem sad, and it seems immature, and it seems silly and petty and so on and so forth and antisocial, and the list could go on. However, you got to write that list off, because when it's part of the religion, you have to respect their right to adhere to it, because that's clearly what it says, and this is what he's exercising, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that's fine. That's fine. Now, that's okay. I have no problem. What I found really interesting, and if you've got it in front of you, this is great.
I'm looking at a really interesting list of things underneath it. Can you explain?
Yes, so this is after Rico said this on this thread in which I am tagged, a person got on straight after Rico. Colin is his name, and Colin had some really interesting things to say. Now, the reason why I found it really interesting, should I begin by reading it?
I mean, I think you should read it to get the context of it, yeah.
Because it's very telling. It's very telling, and I'd like to share Colin's comment. Now, Colin is obviously a believer in Yeshua.
Yeah, I'll just say at the beginning, Colin is a Christian, right? He follows a Christian faith.
Yeah, he's there. Okay. Now, Colin writes, "That's quite amazing because last year we went there, to Australia that is, we went there and blew the shofar on the Blue Mountains." Now, the Blue Mountains I used to live in the Blue Mountains. Oh, I miss it. Do you know, actually today, it was such a great day. We got in the car here in the country town of Cowra in New South Wales, traveled about an hour north to the town of Orange. G'day everyone who's listening in Orange. And there in Orange is a mountain called Mount Kenobolas. It's winter at the moment, and we've just had this.
Do you pull your names out of a hat? You call the town Orange, and then you give the mountain the most difficult to spell name of all mountains.
Well, it's not like Mount Kosciuszko. So yeah. Mount Kosciuszko is the highest mountain. It's the highest mountain peak. When I say that, it's not even 2.5 km high, but that's our highest mountain peak, and that's about 2 hours south from here, or maybe 2.5. Yeah, probably 2.5. But we did live in the Blue Mountains. Now, Mount Kenobolas, beautiful. Oh, it was snow-capped today. It was so great. We climbed up there, and it was – I mean, because we don't get snow. And so when we get snow, it's really quite novel, and we want to go and get into it. Not too far away from there, I don't know, about an hour and a half or something, is Blackheath in the Blue Mountains where we used to live, top of the Blue Mountains. And it would also, like Mount Kenobolas in Orange, it would get a dusting of snow whenever we had a cold snap like we have now. We used to live – we lived there for about 4 years. Now, when we were there, I was in the Christian camp, very much so, and very, very zealous for my Christian faith. But I belonged to a Pentecostal church, an evangelical church, and it was a very, quote-unquote, spirit-filled church, Mr. Spiritual Babies, and we were very enthusiastic with our spirituality, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And this was up in the Blue Mountains. Now, we would often go and have great dramatic prayer sessions in various high places of the Blue Mountains, declaring this and claiming this and binding that and all of those ones, because we were up there, dealing with, quote, principalities and powers, right? You remember that?
Absolutely, I remember that.
I mean, now I look back on it and it's like playing football with one team, but this is what we did. And it was fun because we really believed it. We had all of our imaginary friends and imaginary enemies, more to the point. And we were responsible for this great, incredible battle that no one else knew about. But fortunately, it's all right. We were there. And we were keeping it all under control because, I tell you, the demonic activity up on the Blue Mountains was just spectacular, don't you know? No one else knew, but boy, we knew. We knew, and we were taking care of it. Don't you worry. I know you're totally unaware, but it's all right. We're here. Okay. So that was the kind of church that I went to, and that was the kind of stuff that I was into, and this is the kind of carry-on and activity that we engaged in. But apparently it meant nothing. All of that stuff that we did when we were up in the Blue Mountains doing all of those ones, it didn't count. It was of no effect until Colin arrived. And Colin, thank goodness, Colin went there and blew his shofar. He declared, and I'm quoting now, and back to his comment. Colin goes on to say, "We declared, open up the ancient gates. Open up the ancient paths." Now, I'm not sure if we might not have done that. And had we known the magic words, we would have done it. And I'm not too sure that we did that verbatim. Mm. And maybe that's why it never worked. Colin goes on to say, "We open the gates over Oz," which is just a colloquial term for Australia. "We open the gates over Oz for the righteous to enter in."
Oh, so he's responsible for Rico to be able to enter the country. Is that what he's saying?
This is it. It's Colin. Colin,
well done,
is
Colin.
The Gandalf the Grey of the messianic world. Can I say that?
You can say it.
That's fair enough, isn't it? There's Colin. He's there up on the Blue Mountains saying, you shall not pass. You can come in, but you can't. He's doing all of those ones and blowing his shofar. And he's much more powerful wizard than we ever were.
You see, but as I read through the rest of his little comment here, I don't think you're too far away from the truth.
But no, I use that word intentionally. I'll continue. The comment continues, the interesting history of Oz is that England still had power over the land, so much so that the Queen of England has power to fire the Prime Minister.
Now, I want to jump in here as an Englishman and as someone who supports their Queen. She absolutely has got the power to do that. But in the same way, she has the power to decapitate anyone that spoils her image on a £5 note. It's nonsense. It's one of those rules that was written in like 1600. I mean, no way is the Queen ever going to do that.
No, I've got to stop you there for a second. Okay, so we actually do have the Queen on a $5 note here.
Okay.
And if someone defaces that image, mm-hmm. The law is she can decapitate that person.
If you go to most countries, there will be a law that inhibits the person defacing a currency. And the older the country, normally the more harsh the law, because the law was set in place when the currency was set in place. And usually the monarch was the leader of the treasury, which was normally connected to the church. And so it's not uncommon to find very terminal punishment for people that deface the face of a monarch, especially when it's on currency. So, yeah.
Right.
But then in the same way, when I was a kid, there was a real problem with skateboarding. And I used to love skateboarding, right? So, but skateboards were brand new and law wasn't. So we'd go hurtling down the high street in the evening. And the police couldn't really do anything. There was no one around. We weren't making much noise. So there was no kind of social issue. But eventually they got us on and being transported in a four-wheeled vehicle without a leashed horse in a public space. That was the law. That was the bylaw that was done in like 1720 for runaway carts.
Wow.
But it still stood. Now, I'm not saying a lot of
people still didn't have, but no, you are saying. You're saying that the Queen saw you hurtling down the road. She didn't like it, so she got the police. She said, you can get them on this technicality. Go and do it now. And that's an example of the Queen overusing her authority. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But the point is, this guy, and like, you see this a lot on Facebook, right? He's heard something and immediately thought that this was true in the sense that it matters in the world we live in. And it doesn't. The Queen has no interest that's not fair. She's very interested in Australia, but she's no political power to interfere with Australia at all. The point is that while that might be technically true, if you look through the reams of law, and if she tried to do that, it wouldn't happen. I mean, and she wouldn't.
But even if she did, what is it that Colin's trying to say here? Why is this so evil? I'm not exactly sure what Colin's point is here.
Oh, his point is that England is a demonic country, as will become apparent. And
okay, so we have to put it in context and continue. Now, should I yell where he's got capitals?
You can if you like.
I kind of feel like if I'm going to read it aloud, I should yell where he has the capitals, because what he's doing is yelling, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so this is what he says. He says, we cut off every tie and demonic control and connection between England and Oz.
So he's saying that he actually took that right away, that now the Queen can't find the Prime Minister if you cut off every demonic connection between England and us?
I'm not sure. I'm going to let you be the interpreter of this.
All right.
Okay, so you interpret as I read.
Okay.
Because to be honest, I'm confused with Colin. But this is what Colin's saying. Now he continues on. It runs in the family. He says, my dear sister went to England in March this year and cut every demonic and witchcraft tie from the English side.
Thank you very much.
That's in capitals. That's why I'm yelling.
Thank you very much, Colin and his sister, for spending that money to travel all the way to England to do that. Wasn't that very giving? She didn't enjoy a holiday. No, no. She came specifically to the UK, to England, not the whole of the UK, just to the small landmass of England, which is nestled between Scotland and Wales, And she stood there and she cut off all the demonic ties between England and Australia. Well done,
don't you think that we should, I mean, Colin and his sister need a PayPal.
Oh, they do. They need a Kickstarter fund so they
because obviously what happened was Colin's sister ran out of funds. She would have gone to Ireland and helped you out.
Yeah.
But she ran out of funds, and so the all those demons that she kicked out of the English side are now all in Ireland or Scotland or Wales or wherever running amok. And it's her fault because she didn't finish the job.
I mean, really, the Vatican should get onto this because normally that would be grounds for a sainthood. I mean,
you got to die first. You can't just get a saint. Can you? I don't know. I'm not too sure about that, actually. Can you get a sainthood when you're alive?
Maybe you're right. Because I suppose you might have to prove that you could do miracles. That'd be the church bit.
All right. So now it continues. Now, there's a list, and I'm not too sure what this means. So again, I'm going to get you to interpret. Number one, he's got these numbers. There's a list here out of the blue. One, and I don't know what this list means, and I don't know where it comes from, but I'm just going to read it out, okay? And you can explain it if you can. One, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh.
So my question here is he saying that if you believe in the Creator, in the Tanakh sense of the Creator, you're not allowed to enjoy anything or take pleasure in your life?
I'm not sure. I don't know what he's saying. I mean, for example, like I said, I took great pleasure in taking my family to Mount Canopus and up to the snow and just being in my father's creation in a way that is new to me. I love that. But apparently, I'm kind of getting the feeling from Colin.
Don't do it. And
can't have the best of both worlds.
Don't go up there having a nice time in those mountains. Oh, you can do it now. The gates are open. But before...
Before I couldn't. Number two. This is what he says. Number two. Commonwealth, in brackets, what does this mean, of Australia? Declare Commonwealth of Israel.
I can answer this one. Okay.
Okay.
Commonwealth, what does this mean of Australia? It's quite good that he put what does this mean in, because he clearly doesn't know what the Commonwealth is. There's no Commonwealth of Australia. You can't commonly share the wealth in one nation, unless you're a communist Russia, right? And that didn't even work out. The Commonwealth is a collection under the crown of countries who signed a declaration that they would share a commonwealth and trade with each other in a fair way. That's what that is. Canada was part of the Commonwealth. There's some gorgeous islands, Barbados and the Caribbean, that are part of the Commonwealth. It's a big thing. He's comparing that. He's comparing that free trade and free spirit and the will to help other countries get along by giving what you've got at a better rate or offering support to those countries. Mm. He's comparing that goodness and saying that that's not a good thing, right? And that we should be declaring the Commonwealth of Israel, which is a holy Christian term. You can tell me more about the Commonwealth of Israel. But it's not even close to what he's talking about with the Commonwealth that Australia is part of. It's apples and oranges. Totally different thing.
I have no idea what one and two. Look, your interpretation of these so far, I'm pretty happy with, because I didn't know what to make of them. Now I don't know if you can do anything with number three, but this is what it says. Number three, water spirits surrounded by water.
Ah, I live in Ireland. That's whiskey. Whiskey is a spirit that people often surround with water. And anyone that's against whiskey is against me. So, to be fair, this is a Christian person who believes in the New Testament. But on the other hand, there are no water spirits in this new Christian Testament. This is a very New Age, and if you like, pagan thing.
Do you know what? I'm thinking about it now. There are the pigs that ran down the, off the cliff into the water. Does that count? I mean, Jesus cast all the demons out of the man into the pigs, and the pigs ran down and drowned in the water. Is this where he's going? I don't know. I mean, can we help it that we're an island? It's the biggest island in the world, Australia. I mean, we should feel bad that we're surrounded by water and therefore we're riddled with water spirits.
Everything actually is surrounded by water. It makes up most of the globe. I mean, it's ridiculous. And moreover, it's not that he's asking people, or he himself is praying against the belief in water spirits. He believes in water spirits. He's praying against water spirits. I mean, that blows my mind that there are people who profess faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they also believe that there are water spirits. Isn't that amazing?
I've never heard of water spirits, and I've never... been concerned with islands and places that are surrounded by water. So I'm not too sure where he's going there.
On the final point, we're surrounded by water at all points, right? We've got an atmosphere over us which holds a lot of water. The air that surrounds us, for the most part, has some measure of humidity. We're made up of mostly water. We have to have water to drink. We wash our clothes in it. We bathe in it. And every landmass is surrounded by it. It's a completely ridiculous premise that this is something you can pray about and that it contains some negative thing. God gave water to us so we could survive and live. And now he's saying that there's some inherent evil in it. I mean, that's just a nonsense, but we better move on. It's made me very angry.
We better move on. Okay. Number four. Ancient people in touch with ancestral spirits. Europeans blind to spirit realm.
Ah, okay.
Intellectualism and materialism.
All right.
There's three things there.
All right. First of all,
ancient people in touch with ancestral spirits.
Yeah, but what, Israel's an ancient people. They were in touch with an ancestral spirit in the sense that they prayed to the god of their fathers and their forefathers. That's an ancestral spirit. Blind to the spirit realm, I'm not sure if that's such a bad thing. I probably get through 80% of my week without thinking about a spirit realm. I have a spiritual relationship with my creator that I sometimes consider. But actual spirit realms? I mean, I don't, like, you know, if I walk past the church, do I think there's a few spirits outside of spears and demons? And, no, I don't think that. So I don't think that's such a bad thing. The last two are just ridiculous. There's nothing in the text that says it's wrong to be wealthy and to be able to support yourself and have nice things. And if intellectualism is an issue, like if there's something people should pray against intellectualism, then
well, it says a lot about his movement, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, throw away your books. I mean, maybe he did.
I think Colin did throw away his intellect, perhaps. I wonder if he threw away his materials.
Oh, wow. Well, clearly he didn't throw away his computer because he managed to post a... But to ask people to pray against intellectualism is just ridiculous.
Now, that's only number four on the list. Number five, ready?
Yes.
it gets weirder. Number five, rulership, in brackets, king. Political capital,
Canberra.
I yell that because that's in capitals for some weird reason. Uh-huh. Political capital,
Canberra.
Religion, in brackets, priest. Ancestral worship, in brackets, Aborigines. Christianity, and in brackets, Europeans lost tribes. Jason.
Pet peeve. I don't know. It keeps going. You might as well finish it off. Oh, wow.
Oh, it does keep going. Oh, man, it keeps going. Okay. Now, just in case he missed anything, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. And then in brackets, prophet. And then after that, I am the prophet of my own destiny. In brackets, new age with a question mark.
First of all, Canberra doesn't have a king, right?
No, we don't have the king of Canberra.
So he has a problem then with having a social political center in the country where people can centralize government and healthcare and all these other things that people need to be able to get to easily and have a head for. I mean,
kind of weird. Yeah. So just for people who don't know, Canberra is the capital of Australia, the federal capital. It's not. A lot of people think that it's Sydney, but it's not. It's the capital is Canberra.
It's like New Zealand. A lot of people think it's Auckland. But that's his problem. There, it's not so much a rule of kind of royal dynasty. It's that there's a national head. But that's ridiculous. Religion, priest doesn't. If he doesn't like priests, then it's going to have a real problem. Have a real problem when a temple comes back. Ancestral worship. Now, this is straight out racism. Aborigines. That's. I don't know if there are there many practicing Aboriginal groups.
Well, no. You know, look. There is a real push for traditional owners. Is how they tend. Is the title they tend to go by here. For the traditional owners to regain what they have lost, particularly by way of tradition, their language, their culture, and their religion.
I'd be all for that. If they were not, you know, if they want that religion, then
I totally respect their right to do that. Absolutely. I totally uphold that.
As far as their land, the way they live, the lifestyle that they lived for thousands of years, they should absolutely be able to do that. And this is, I feel the same with
What is that high-pitched noise?
That's
in the background?
A spin on my washing machine. It's laundry day.
That is. Can you close the door?
There is no door.
Oh, no. It's this high pitch.
We'll pass.
It's interesting, though. It does seem racist and bigoted because Australia, it's a multicultural country. We have Muslims, we have Hindus, we've got Christians, we have Jews, we've got Buddhists, we've got all different mixes of religion here in Australia, which, again, I totally uphold the right for anybody to practice their religion in a non-violent way. By all means, do it. If that's what you desire to do, I respect your right to do it. But in singling out one of them, particularly the people who are native to the land, I find that very odd. So, yeah, it does seem racist.
Come on, I'm looking forward to these next two.
So Christianity, in brackets, Europeans, lost tribes. Is that not blatant replacement theology?
It's utterly, oh, wow. All right, so, because that's the thing. They take this option. The option is, well, these people have vanished. They're not sitting in that chair anymore, so I'm just going to slide over there. And if anyone comes, I'll say, oh, no, I'm a lost tribe. I'm a lost tribe person, and I don't have to offer you any proof because all the records will burn. It's nonsense. It's complete replacement theology. If you can't prove that your lineage to a point where you are actually in those people, then you've got no right to wear that name tag.
Mm. What he definitely is saying is that the Europeans, Christian Europeans, are the lost tribes. That's what I'm really getting from him, which is blatant replacement theology.
Yeah, it seems to read that way.
Okay. Now the next one. Everyone, in brackets, prophet. I am the prophet of my own destiny, in brackets, new age.
Now I have
everyone to say, prophet. What is that about?
When I first read through that, I thought that he was saying that was a good thing and that was what he wanted to pray out. That was his prayer. But I don't think that is. I think he's against that. And in that case, I'd agree. There are, prophets are selected by God. I mean, I saw a post just today, and someone said, I was prophetically felt led to post this. And I thought, you prophetically led? What, God told you to do this? Did a prophet come and tell you to do this? Because they're the only two options, really, to be prophetically led, is either for you to get like a personal, 100% sure revelation from the Creator, or an actual prophet of God who is a prophet of God, comes and tells you something. But us normal dudes, when we do get personal revelation, but that personal revelation is not meant to be public revelation, we're certainly not prophets. I mean, to be a mouthpiece of God's a very specific thing. And if that's what he's praying against, that everyone thinks that they're in a prophet of their own destiny, then I'm kind of, you're right, that one I'll give a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. All right. So if we can interpret it that way, then we're giving Colin some points there. Mm. All right. Okay, there you go, Colin. And number six, the final one. This is hilarious. All right. I'm sorry. This is hilarious. Darwin. Now, just so everybody knows, there is a city called Darwin. Darwin is the capital of the Northern Territory, way up the top end of Australia. And what he's written here is Darwin Theory of Evolution. In other words, because the city of Darwin shares the same name as the father of evolution, Charles Darwin,
oh, wow,
then this is an evil thing. And now he ends, I don't think we have to elaborate on that one. That seems pretty straightforward. He ends this list by saying, these are the issues we prayed about in Ausland.
Can I just really, like, in 20 seconds sum up that?
Go on.
He prayed against people that believe in the Creator having pleasure in their lives. He prayed against a group of countries working together to help each other. He prayed against the belief that he has in water spirits. He prayed against ancient people believing in the gods of their fathers, against Europe, against intellectualism and materialism. He prayed against Canberra being the political center of the country. He prayed against native-born aborigines of the country.
He endorsed replacement theology.
Right, yeah. And finally, there he prayed against the city of Darwin because of its name connection to the guy who put forward the theory of evolution.
Hmm. These are the issues that he prayed. Now, again, I have to say, I totally uphold Colin's right to believe what he believes, But I'm just saying, that's crazy. Anyway, this is Colin's crazy comment. This is what I'm calling it, Colin's crazy comment. And it should be said that at the bottom there were a couple of likes on Colin's crazy comment. One of those was Rico. Rico liked this comment and followed up in a reply comment saying, cool, you did that. So there's the stamp of approval from Rico. Now, Rico doesn't want to meet up with me while he's in Australia. Nope, nope, nope. He rejected Yeshua. I am going to see my brothers and sisters. But is when it comes to Colin's crazy comment, hey, cool, you did that.
I wonder if we're going to see Rico at the top of any mountains praying against the water spirits.
Well, no, I think Colin's got that covered. I think that Colin is the John the Baptist. Colin went to make the path straight for Rico. He's the John the Baptist. You know, he's the voice crying out in the wilderness or the Blue Mountain, or the Blue Mountains, as it were.
In the bush.
Now, just to remind, now a lot of Jewish people are listening to this going, what are you guys talking about? Well, the thing is, this is the mindset, this is the craziness that that the evangelical Pentecostal Hebrew roots world can often lend itself to. I was once in it. I can attest to this. But people that are coming out of journeying out or have journeyed out can totally relate to what we're saying and go, oh, yeah. Either I was there once, or man, I knew one person who was there. Oh boy, nutty stuff. But again, you know, I respect their right. If that's what they want to believe and that's what they want to practice, by all means. But let it be said, and thank you, Rico, for making the distinction. I have rejected the New Testament. I don't believe that stuff anymore. But if you're interested, well, Rico's coming to Australia in February. And you can certainly sign up. Hey,
yeah, head over to Rico's page. If you're in Australia and that's the kind of stuff you're interested in, the things we've listed, maybe wisdom incorporate that into his tour.
Wisdom in Torah Ministries, I think, is the website. You'll be able to Google that, and there it is. I don't think I have anything more to add.
Oh man, I'm exhausted. I can't believe I can't believe that was a caveat of where I used to stand in my faith walk. Blows my mind.
I just noticed the next comment that Colin leaves after Rico affirmed his list and everything and said, cool, you did that. Colin says, we connected Oz to their roots, Israel, God's people. Again, that's what it says. Again, reflecting replacement theology. Really, really bad. Anyway, if you have any other interpretation, because I think there is room for other interpretation. If anyone has any other interpretation for Colin's list and what he might mean by it, we would love to hear him. People's interpretation, if it differs from Mr. Spiritual Baby's interpretation, love to have it. Please leave it in the comments as to what you think Colin might mean. But look, I'm just really thrilled that I'm no longer in that mindset. I'm very, very comfortable, very happy with what I believe now, and I'm always happy to meet people.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies of spiritualbabies.net. Before we go, what's going on in spiritualbabies.net world?
Wow! So the third part of the series is done with Stuart Federer, with Rabbi Stuart Federer, about Jonah. That went up this week. Also, I'm doing a series with Rod Bryant of native.net on the Ger, which has been very interesting. On the as I found out this week, there's a house of Ger in the Torah, which doesn't really translate into any English version. The house of Ger. I know, right? Any English.
Interesting.
I'm not joking. But there's a house of Ger that's in the text numerous times, and I'm doing a series on what that Ger is, how that he relates to Israel. So they're the two big things so far. And obviously, you know, tune into the Torah Pals every week. It's a solid source with the newly government-endorsed Rabbi Tovia Singer, which really, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about that this week. We're all kept very busy, which is a great blessing.
It is indeed. Thank you, my friend, for coming back and discussing this with me. I hope, I hope at least listeners found it amusing. Until next time, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart by the truth of our Father's Word, the truth. Shalom.